Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
New technologies, old fears. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The union representing workers at the big three U.S. automakers is gearing up to vote next week in a possible strike. This labor fight has something in common with striking Hollywood actors and writers. Some of the more contentious issues revolve around the transition to new technologies. For actors and writers, it's artificial intelligence and streaming. For auto workers, it's electric vehicles. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
The United Auto Workers Union represents nearly 150,000 employees at Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis, and it wants to ensure workers at newly proposed battery-making plants will be unionized as well. The UAW also wants cost-of-living increases and additional pension benefits. It says the Detroit Three can afford it, citing nearly $21 billion in combined profits during the first half of this year. The two sides have been talking since mid-July, but the union says progress has been slow, and it wants a strike authorization vote to pressure auto companies. The Detroit Three say they're facing higher costs and must spend billions to electrify their fleets, investments that may not be profitable for several years. The current labor contract expires on September 14. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
The weight loss drug Wegovy and the diabetes drug Ozempic both got a lot of buzz and sparked controversy this year. Both are made by Novo Nordisk, the giant pharmaceutical company based in Denmark. The company said recently it's still trying to boost supply of these drugs to meet high demand. Our BBC colleague Leanna Byrne spoke with Novo Nordisk's chief financial officer and filed this report for us.
You look great. Everybody looks so great. When I look around this room, I can't help but wonder, is Ozempic right for me?
That was Jimmy Kimmel opening the 2023 Academy Awards with a joke about one of the most well-known drugs in the world, Ozempic. Despite the fact that it's a drug for people with type 2 diabetes, the drug is often taken for weight loss and has been called the worst kept secret in Hollywood. But what does the maker of this drug think about that?
It's something we have a lot of conversations about, and it's also something that is a little bit new for us as a company.
That's Carsten Knudsen, Chief Financial Officer of Novo Nordisk, which also makes the weight loss drug Wegovy. He says the company takes how their products are being used very seriously.
Wegovy is for overweight, and Ozempic is for type 2 diabetes. And that's where all our communication efforts and commercial efforts, they go on, really educating physicians and patient organizations around the appropriate use of our products.
Novo Nordisk will limit supplies of starter doses of Wegovy until 2024 because the company is unable to meet the demand.
It's not fun, but this is to enable continuity of care of the patient starting on Wegovy. And then we increase those allocations as supply comes on stream.
Mr. Knudsen says Novo Nordisk is also investing $36 billion in its manufacturing and limiting launches outside the US until it can scale to meet the demand. I'm the BBC's Leanna Byrne for Marketplace.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year. And we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
On to China now, whose economy is showing signs of stress. The country's troubled real estate sector is slowing growth there. One symptom of that slowdown is deflation. We are joined by Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Hi, Jennifer.
Morning, Sabri.
So deflation, that is where overall prices are falling, which is so very different from what is happening here in the U.S. And one might be led to wonder, what is the problem with falling prices?
Well, falling prices is good, but if it goes on for too long, it really trains consumers to expect prices to fall further, and then they delay their spending, which in turn means companies get less revenue, and then they might start laying off people. And then those unemployed people in turn don't spend as much. So the concern is it could turn into a vicious cycle.
So looking at the numbers in July, China's consumer prices were down 0.3%. Producer prices were down 4.4%, and prices at factory gates have been falling since last October. What is causing that?
Well, there are just less buyers overall. Less demand from the U.S. and Europe, partly because of Russia's war in Ukraine and U.S.-China tensions. There's less demand here in China because Chinese consumers just don't have much confidence in the economy. You know, they've gone through 3 years of endless lockdowns during the pandemic. A lot of people have burned through their savings. Unlike consumers in the U.S., they had no cash handouts here for Chinese consumers. Unemployment is high, plus the property sector is down, which affects everything in China's economy.
We know what this kind of slowdown looks like per the numbers. What's it look like on the ground for regular people?
So if you go to tourist hotspots this summer, flights are full, restaurants are crowded, it's busy. But when I talk to vendors there, like ask them how's business, quite a number of them say tourists aren't really spending as much as they used to before. Outside of tourism, businesses say they don't have plans for the next 3 to 5 years. They just hope to survive.
How is China's government responding to this?
Well, officials have announced a number of policies to help boost consumer spending and private investment, but most of those policies lack concrete details. China's government has also tried to boost the property sector. The Chinese Central Bank has lowered interest rates a few times to increase borrowing, hopefully, but none of that has made a difference. Meantime, there are reports that economists and analysts have been warned by officials against talking about negative economic trends in the media, like deflation, for example. So Chinese officials are keen to downplay any bad economic news.
All right. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sabri.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.